On the show today, we have motivational speaker Jim Bouchard talking about there's no new normal in our COVID-19 crisis, but we should embrace the uncertainty, so he explains. So check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Jim Bouchard. Jim, you've been on the show. I mean, you're like an old friend of the show. So thank you so much for coming back on. Appreciate it.
Well, Mike, I always appreciate your hospitality.
Oh my gosh. I love how, because we go into these really cool conversations and you look at things from a totally different lens than most. So I really appreciate your perspective on things. And namely, right now, oh my gosh, what a time for a different perspective. I mean, but first, before we get into all that type of stuff, are you and you guys and your family and friends, all that type, everyone safe and sound and healthy and all that good stuff?
You know, absolutely. And thanks for asking, because I think that's one of the best things you can do for people, right? Is just reach out and show a little bit of concern right now. That's amazing. Yeah.
Good. So everyone's A-okay. I'm glad to hear that for sure. Now, you wanted to talk about, because we've been hearing a million times a day, you hear the term new, this is our new normal, you know? And we're living in uncertain times, and this is uncharted waters and all this. We've heard this over and over again, and we get it, all right? We get it. So, but you're saying that there is no new normal, and embrace this uncertainty. So can you kind of unpack that for us? Can you just expand on that a little bit?
I hate that term. I wish I had made the T-shirt, but I hate the term. You know what I mean? Was it 2,000 some odd years ago? Maybe more. Pliny the Elder in ancient Greece said the only certainty is uncertainty. And it sounds stupid when you think about it on the surface, but it's really a profound statement. Things are always changing, and especially, you know, in our age, I mean, things are changing at such an incredible pace. I believe what happens, though, especially when things are running relatively smoothly, it's just like, you know, you look at the ocean, and it when it's calm, right, on a calm day, it looks like nothing's going on. But
right
if you
there.
Can see, there it is, right? That looks good.
Nice.
Right? But you look on, if you could look under the surface, you'd notice there's, you know, there's massive amounts of movement and power and life and things going on.
Oh,
it's the same thing with this. A crisis like this just it magnifies, I think. It gives us a point of reference, right, so that we notice the acceleration all of a sudden. But, you know, this idea of the new normal, for God's sake, get over it. I mean, change and uncertainty, it's something to embrace. And you know, the best leaders, not only the best leaders good at managing change and that they're comfortable with uncertainty, we can go into how to do that, but they're the ones that really cause this change too, right? I mean, the best leaders, they coined a term not too long ago, the disruptors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to be a disruptor now. Well, you got your chance right now, don't you?
Yeah.
We all
no doubt.
Do, right? Yeah, yeah.
So why embrace this uncertainty? Because a lot of people aren't embracing the uncertainty. They have a fear of the uncertainty. So why should we kind of step into it and really embrace it?
We do have a natural fear of it. You know, we do want to have some feeling that we control what's going on around us and whatnot. But, you know, again, the fact is that we don't. We absolutely don't. So the idea is we should focus on what we can control.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
And we should also acknowledge and be open to what we can't control, because, you know, you can look at many, many things like this as disasters or opportunities. And I'm not diminishing the real risks that are here. You know, a lot of business people are feeling the squeeze, right? I mean, this is getting very, very, very serious right now, okay? But again, the best are the ones who are adjusting, and they're saying, okay, let's again, focus on what we can do, take little steps, let's grab this one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that are creating amazing, amazing successes in the middle of this. And somebody always does, right?
Yeah.
Now, but again, that's not to diminish or disparage anybody who, you know, is just plain out of luck, because there are some industries, right, that are just absolutely shut down, and people are facing the prospect of having to change their career entirely. Which, ironically, is kind of how I got into this field a few years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the situation that happened around 2008 really changed my life a great deal. So, you know, that's the thing. And, you know, I say this, and I'm not the lollipops and puppy dogs guy.
You know? No, you are not, Jim. You are in your face with the truth.
In my past, too, right? I've been there, and I can say from my heart that if I can do it, you can do it. I mean, you know, I've seen terrible. I've done terrible things to myself in my life. You know my story. I mean, I came from a background as a drug addict and a dropout. So I am one of these people that can say, if I can do it, you can. It's not easy. It's not easy. That's for sure.
But, yeah. Nothing worthwhile ever really is easy. So you really
not
have
usually,
to.
Usually, right? It would be nice if it were.
I know. It would be wonderful. Come on. So what's the importance of this mindset, though? Because again, you know, I mean, again, the uncertainty of it kind of scares people, scares me, my family, a lot of us. And so what's the importance of this to kind of, because I'm kind of looking at it, it's like, okay, we're in this situation, like it or not. All right, let's just embrace it. Let's just move forward. Let's do the best we can with what we know and all the resources that we have. Is that kind of the importance of it, or?
Well, first of all, and what you said is important because it's difficult with all the conflicting information, right? And information changing literally by the hour.
Yeah.
I think the information flow has slowed a little bit as data has, you know, become a little more consistent. But for a while there, I mean, every hour it was just changing. We had no idea what we were dealing with.
Right.
But the idea, let's work on this. How about we focus on, you know, getting you a little more comfortable, trying to mitigate some of that fear. Now, first of all, fear is a healthy thing. Fear is what keeps us from running out into the middle of the street, right?
Yeah.
It's the absence of fear isn't courage, you know. The absence of fear is stupidity, right? So it's a matter of, you know, putting these things in the right compartments and moving forward so that we are able to perform and perform effectively, and especially, right, in the CU world. I mean, you guys are under it, man. It's constant, especially with the paperwork being filed for loans, these emergency loans, the PPPs and things like that.
Yeah.
I know all my friends in the CUs are under a lot of stress right now, right? And fear is a natural part of that. But here's what we need to do. First of all, training and preparation. That's the thing that begins the process of being comfortable with uncertainty, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's assume for a second, though, because like I said, and the CUs have been performing just outstandingly, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's proof that the training and preparation was probably pretty solid, even though it's a little different look, right? They adjusted quickly. I know all the people that I know in CU adjusted very quickly. Longer hours, different procedures, different protocols, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Okay, so the next step is getting comfortable with it means you have to expose yourself to it. You know what I mean? And that's kind of interesting because what the younger leaders have been asking me about is how, you know, yeah, it's all nice to train and prep, but how do you really develop that comfort? I said, you're doing it right now.
Yeah.
Because we're going to face other challenges like this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the opportunity. Now, when we're not in a state of crisis, though, it's something for leaders to remember that the only way to strengthen yourself, it's a lot like courage. Uncertainty, courage, and confidence are all kind of married together, right? And the only way to increase your courage and your confidence in uncertainty is to, like I said, expose yourself to it. You can train all you want, but it's something that really needs to be tested and honed under fire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's an internal uncertainty as well, too. And research shows very clearly that leaders who are a little more uncertain tend to be the best and the best performing leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And that might sound ironic a little bit, but, you know, people, leaders who always think they're right usually aren't, right? You know what I mean? So if people are too sure of themselves, then they have a very difficult time responding in a situation like this, right? So when the external uncertainty is really overwhelming, that a little bit of internal uncertainty can go a long way to serve you. You just can't let it run away with you, right?
Yeah.
But that idea that you question what your decisions are, you question your thinking, you expose yourself to different ideas, that's all what we're talking about when we talk about being comfortable with uncertainty.
Mm-hmm. And as you're talking there, because you're echoing what, I mean, have you been watching the documentary on the Chicago Bulls? It's on ESPN.
No.
Oh my gosh, it's phenomenal. It's real. I mean, if you were a Bulls fan or whatever, this is really great. And that was kind of my era. I grew up kind of watching those guys. But Michael Jordan said something really interesting. He said in practice, he would practice, like, I mean, I'm totally paraphrasing him, but in practice, he would practice like 100 times harder than he would ever play in a game. So he was always prepared. The game almost came easy to him because of how hard he trained and how hard he practiced. So as you were saying that, I went, gosh, that's kind of echoing what Jordan was saying. It's like, and so you kind of parlay that into what credit unions are doing and the ones that really trained hard or practiced this. And I talked to a few of them, the ones that already had a pandemic plan, the ones who already had remote workers planning and all this type of stuff. They were like, they hit the ground running when this thing hit. I mean, obviously there was a lot of improvisation still to go on, but as you're saying that, it just went bing, this light bulb just went off in my head. So just love that.
Yeah, because you can plan for the fight, but you seldom fight with a planner. Like Mike Tyson said it so eloquently. He said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, but you're absolutely right. And, you know, organizations that took the advantage, if not, you know, this one, all these situations have, you know, some variables that we haven't seen before.
Oh, yeah.
And this one certainly threw a basket of those in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
But But you're right. The ones that were more prepared and had trained and anticipated some of these possibilities, because this is something that has been discussed for a long time. And mm-hmm. so it's interesting that, yes, in the CU world, they were, I think, a little more open to that possibility at some point.
Yeah.
Because they deal with the public so much, right? Probably. Yeah, but that idea of that game day prep, yeah. What my trainers used to say? He said, you don't lose a fight in the ring. You lose a fight in the gym.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Completely. So that's where it is. I'm sorry. No, I'm completely backwards. You don't win the fight in the ring. You win the fight in the gym. You can lose it in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the idea. Sorry about the concussion.
No, I get it.
The idea being, though, I think we're singing an irony, right? You gotta train harder than you think you're gonna play.
Yeah.
And that's how the game. And it's not that you don't take it easy once you're in the game. That's ridiculous. But it feels that way. Right?
Mm-hmm,
the game, if you've trained properly, the game feels easier to you.
Yeah, right? Completely. And I've been hearing also a number of my interviews, a lot of the word opportunity has come up time and time again. And I'm actually really refreshed to hear that. I'm actually really happy to hear that term coming out of a lot of credit unions' mouths these days. So can you talk a little bit about this glass is half full mentality or this opportunity? Because, I mean, I certainly see there's so much opportunity out there because of what's going on and the kind of the have-tos that we have to do now. So can you talk about opportunity in this time as we start embark on the recovery process? What do you see from the opportunity side?
Right. And there are going to be a lot of adjustments as we're coming out of this.
I mean,
really our entire economic system is being twisted. I don't know which direction it's going. And again, I'm not an economist, but listening and being a junkie listening to these people, it's going to be a very interesting adventure as we start to pull out of this. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of change. Now, some of these changes were likely coming anyway, but again, a crisis like this accelerates it.
Oh, completely.
I mean, just look at the opportunities we've seen. You and I have taken a lot more of our work online, right? And we're adjusting to, this opportunity to be able to communicate with people more by video and remote video and things like that. That's all interesting. But on a bigger scale, the best leaders are the ones who are always doing that. Now, this is about as Pollyannish as I'm going to sound, but I hope you'll see it. There's a very practical backline to this. When I was a drug addict and I was living in genuine poverty, my own fault, I'm not blaming anybody, but poverty's poverty, whether you do it to yourself or not.
Right.
I started to this practice and it really has become a profound practice in my life. It's some people call it a gratitude practice. Mine's very simple. I just look around from time to time and say thank you. I've disciplined myself to do that, especially under pressure like this. Because believe me, I've had my moments the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. I just try to keep it behind the curtain over there. Right? But the point being that just by acknowledging what we have, it brings our focus to the resources we have at our disposal right now, mm-hmm. no matter how little that is, rather than obsessing over what we don't have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is very easy to do in a situation like this.
Yeah.
And the more we do that, then those opportunities, it's what do psychologists call it? The red car phenomenon, right? Nobody has a red car till you have one.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
You see them everywhere. Well, the same thing with opportunity, right? If we're constantly, mired in our own misery and siloed in our own little problems there, then, or big problems, it's very difficult to see outside of that bubble, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? But just by saying thank you, acknowledging our resources, saying what can I do here and now with what I have here and now, and that's a very real thing. We have a lot of friends here. We do a lot of work in healthcare.
Yeah.
And there's one story. I don't know if you saw this. I thought it was an amazing story. It's a perfect way to frame this. There was a hospital in New York, I think in Manhattan, that had completely run out of the gowns they needed, right, to do the triage. And it was originally pitched. The story when I saw it. It was this terrible story that these people had to wear garbage bags, right? Well, I got behind the story a little bit, and I said, see, there's an opportunity of leaders taking, looking at opportunity. They didn't have what they needed, but they had garbage bags. Mm-hmm. And now, as awful as that sounds in the context of our society, I thought that was just incredible. They saw what they had, they utilized it, they got to work. You see what I mean? So mm-hmm. to me, the real lesson in that story was how amazing that these leaders seized on that opportunity to use what was pretty scarce resources and keep going, keep their work going, their very important work. So, on a small scale, that's the type of thing. What big opportunities do we have? Well, again, the CUs are responding. I mean, a lot of the CU people I'm talking to now, they're ramping up their technology, right? Some had been hesitant for a while. Now, all of a sudden, they're putting that into high gear because they had to.
Yeah. right? Yeah, you have to.
All banking remotely now. Responding to people's needs as far as loans and flexibility and payment adjustments and all these things.
Yeah.
Just amazing. But the opportunity really there, and this fits the CU spirit so well, doesn't it? That I think the CU, a lot of institutions have responded nicely, but the CUs especially, because they're our neighbors, right? We own our CUs as members. And it's so incredible that they were so responsive. The loyalty, right, and the trust and the respect that's growing in us as members towards our institutions, I think is just amazing. So that there's a tremendous opportunity. I think some of the CUs have earned members for life through this process.
Oh, no doubt. Because, yeah, you take care of them now and they'll take care of you later for sure.
Amen, so, right?
Indeed. All right, last question here for you, Jim, because I know you got a lot on your plate as well as we all do these days. So
funny. Right? The celebrities are all saying, oh, it's nice to have this time off.
Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah. in your world.
I think I've ever worked harder in my life. This is the last 3 weeks have been nuts. It's been just amazing. But the last question is there like one or two takeaways from this experience, maybe personally that you've experienced or that you want to share with credit unions out there to kind of give them maybe, give them a pep in their step, give them a boost in their day, something like that. Just a one or two takeaways that we could just cover real quick.
Yeah, well, the first one again is to embrace this process of transformation. Yeah. And that's, that's part of the reason that I share my past as a drug addict. I used to think that was a pretty lousy resume for someone helping leaders, but came to realize it was pretty useful. I mean, who better to talk about transformation than someone that really had to learn it in order to survive, right?
Yeah.
So again, to embrace that process. It's not easy. I'm not going to be Pollyannish about it at all. It's not easy. Sometimes it's darn right, it's scary, okay? And we're looking at very real threats and I'm not even talking about the virus, right? But yeah, it's to embrace that and move forward. The other thing is this, real quickly, this idea of fear. People are too afraid of fear. And that's going to sound stupid when, frame that way. But we really have to be cautious about that. Like I said, and embrace that as a gift. Manage the fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Embrace it. And martial arts, they always taught us that. We see something coming that we're afraid of. You acknowledge that. You bring that in close to you, right?
Right.
And then you're able to deal with it. And then you can start letting it go in different ways that are more productive. So, and share that, because the couple of stories that have come out recently, we're in the period now where it's a very dangerous period where a couple of physicians who were under stress that it took their own lives, right, from the pressure. And I think we're going to see that more in business too. Reach out, help. When you feel that fear, reach out and ask for help. And I hate that term, we're all in it together too, but we are if we discipline ourselves to do that. Reach out and touch people as best you can through the internet, right?
Indeed, yeah. I like your message about gratitude as well. Just step out and say thank you once in a while. So it says a lot as well.
Yeah,
and it changes your mindset as well. So.
Yes, it does.
Good stuff, sir. All right, Jim, always a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much for your words of wisdom. We always appreciate it and look forward to the next visit, all right?
Mike, thanks for everything you do. You really are a sensei leader, and thank you, everybody at the CUs. You guys have been just doing a tremendous job. You guys embody what we're talking about here.
Indeed. Well said. All right, Jim, I'll let you get going. Appreciate the time. Well
done. Thanks, Mike.